Genesis 1:1, where the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So he did all of this in the beginning. And so when he created heavens and the earth, he had a game plan. When he had a game plan, he knew exactly what he planned. And we know a plan doesn't work if you don't work your plan. So he began to work his plan. And he's been working that plan ever since. One of the main points that I want to bring to your attention today is that you and I are a part of that plan. Somebody say yes. All right. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we try to preach in the beginning. In the beginning. Lord, we love, live, praise, and honor. We worship and exalt, and we magnify your wonderful name. We thank you for the chance. We praise you for the privilege. We can't praise you enough for the honor of simply being here today in your presence. Lord, it's not me feeling that you should be honored that I'm here. I am honored, Lord, that you would even let me be here to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, God, that you would come to grips with somebody's future, someone's heart, mind, soul, and that you would anchor us, Lord, and prepare us for a faith-filled future greater than we have ever experienced in the past. And somebody say amen. God bless you. Shake somebody's hand before you say it. There you go. You ought to tell them they're making this place look good. Amen. You young people, just tell that person you're not flirting with them. You're just doing what Pastor said. In the beginning. Now, somebody said God likes baseball. I don't know about that. I do know that this generation is on third base, and we better make it home. But I will say, they said that he liked baseball because he started the Bible with the big inning. And that's relevant here in just a few moments as I'm preaching. I don't know about all that. Someone said Joseph loved tennis because he served in Pharaoh's court. Well, okay. Amen. Someone said there was a lady in the Bible who had trouble smoking because she lit off a camel. I don't know about all that. That I think somebody's twisting things. Probably same person that said Noah's Ark is in Arkansas because Noah looked out of the Arkansas. I don't know. I don't know. I do know that I once read that the brain is a goal-seeking organism and that setting a goal creates structural tension in your brain, especially if you've got mine. But that should never restrict us from setting goals. This will seek to close the gap between where you are and where you want to be, who you are and who you wish to become. If you do not set goals, your mind becomes stagnant. Goal setting is good stewardship of your right-brained imaginations, what they call it. It will also work for your prayer life. Setting goals. Amen. To become the person that you need to be. You'll never be the person you need to be until that's the person that you want to be. Amen. And so we set goals for that. God set goals. He already knew the when, the what, the where, and he knew the who. I know that he knew you and I before we were created. Physically. He was the beginning and he was the end because he created the beginning and he created the end. Can I show you something revelatory? This is not even, it's not in my notes or anything like that, but, and Brother Soundman, if you'll help me out, get John 3:16. Everybody in the world knows John 3:16, but I want to help you comprehend it. Amen. Everybody say, He is Lord. How many gods do you believe in? Raise your fingers. Look at that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of us are from Baptist backgrounds, Presbyterian, Pentecostal backgrounds. Some of us from heathen backgrounds. And yet we all believe in one God. And this is the reason why. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. Now we understand that God is a spirit. Am I correct? And we understand that the Bible said, no man hath seen God at any time. Why? Because he's a spirit. Amen. That he gave, and then he gave, he loved so much that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Now we saw the son, right? And we knew that the son was a direct reflection of the father. Because Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the father. So did not God robe himself in flesh and come as a man, and he called it his son? Thank you. Praise God. Would you tell about 80% of the pastors in America that? Amen. Amen. That whosoever believeth in him, it didn't say them, it said him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's John 3:16. Am I correct? All right. Look at 1 John 3:16. Same John and the same scripture location in another book. I don't think that was an accident. Okay, here we're going to sum it all up and let you understand that there is only one God. There is only one Lord. There is only one faith. There is only one baptism. And so there's nothing to worry about. Look at this. Hereby perceive we the love of, somebody shout it. Say it again. Say it again. The love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He died for our sins, and we ought to give our lives for others so that they can find the same God that we found. Amen. There it is in a nutshell. It's woven all through the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it was the enemy that came in the Nicene Council many years ago to divide the Godhead and say, over here is a God the Father, right here is a God the Son, and right here is a God the Holy Ghost, when those terms are not even in the Scripture. Amen. So understand that that Spirit God robed himself in flesh because the Bible said he could find no man that was worthy. And so he came himself. Amen. So when I say there's only one Lord and there's only one God, we need to get happy about that, because there's nowhere else to go. I'm sorry I gave it to you in such a simplified version, but that's exactly how simple it is. The Bible said a child shall know it. Amen. And they can comprehend it, and they can understand. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to spend your life in a theological institution, and you don't have to become a monk in a highway mountain somewhere. Amen. You just need to know the Word of God. It's the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love the freedom I feel when I understand that there is only one God. And him alone will we worship. Him alone will we praise. Him alone will we honor and exalt and magnify. Does anybody love the Lord? The Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, he never chose to begin something that he had no intentions of finishing. He never would have started with you and I if he had no intentions of finishing with you and I. Amen. Now, I remember my start and how excited I was. I remember many of you and your start and how excited you were and how thrilled you were. You told everybody about it. You shared it with everybody. Amen. That's why we have a lot of guests and visitors here today. Somebody's out there sharing. Somebody's out there caring. Amen. And I want you to know right now, and I'm pointing my finger at you, I'm telling you, God's going to get you for that. And it's going to be a good thing. Hallelujah. But listen, we need to share this. We need to let people know that God created you. Amen. You may have been an accident with your parents, so they thought, but you were not an accident with my God. And your parents may not have treated you as they should have, but you cannot blame one bad treatment on God, because he cares. And he wouldn't have chosen you to start this race if he didn't want to finish, if he didn't want you to finish this race. Let me encourage somebody today. Look at Matthew 25 and verse 34. Let me give you this. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, amen. What that simply means is it's the one on his right hand, not the wrong one. Amen. He shall, the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Where? When did I prepare it for you? Just now? Did I just think about it? Did God just wake up this morning and think about, I want you to go to church? He said it was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Honey, he created this thing with you in mind. Pastor, you don't know about me. I've been addicted. I've been afflicted. I've been restricted. And I've been kicked out of rental homes. And you don't know me. I've been so jealous. I've been out of my mind. I've been so full of hate. I've been so full of prejudice. I've been so full of this. Hey, you're just exactly what the Lord is looking for. Amen. Because you're going to be a prime example of what the Holy Ghost can do, what the Spirit can do, what the anointing can do, and how God can set you free and deliver you, give you a happy family, give you a happy home, make you secure in yourself, make you secure in your belief in God, make you secure in the power and the authority and the dominion of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Somebody help me here. Can God do it? Let me encourage you today. Look at Romans 9, 23 and 24. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on what? Vessels of mercy, which he had afore, which he had already prepared unto glory. Amen. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only. Listen, don't let people tell you that the day of Pentecost was just for the Jews. He loves me just as much as he loves the Jews. He loves the United States of America just as much as he loves Jerusalem. If that were not true, then why is USA in the middle of the word Jerusalem? I wish that was original, but I got that from somebody. But I like it. Hallelujah. Amen. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. That's me. Hallelujah. I'm last but not least. Praise God. Amen. I'm in this thing. You're in this thing. I want you to feel it. I want you to know it. Amen. Turn that droop into a smile. Get some happiness in your countenance. Get some joy in your heart. Get some joy in your spirit. Wake up and realize ain't nobody running off with everything you got. Ain't nobody trying to steal everything you got. Ain't nobody dealing, messing with you except your own head. And so let's wake up and understand that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That the joy of the Lord is my goodness. That the joy of the Lord is my, it's my anointing, it's my favor, it's my fire, it's my power, it's my authority and dominion over this world and the things that come against me. Amen. There's nothing wrong with some of us except for the fact that of things that we're plagued with from the past. You need to let the past be just a blast and blow it up. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like I did with my deer stand yesterday. I went to mow the grass with the church tractor. Amen. And I went to turn, and the bucket of that thing hit the leg of my deer stand, and it exploded. Just the leg. So now I've got a deer stand I call tripod. Hallelujah. Listen, I want to tell you something. When he created all of this, he had you and I in mind. And so we have finally come to a place. We have finally come into fruition. God's goal has come to pass. The very thing he saw thousands of years ago is sitting in here today with a tie on. The very thing that he dreamed of in his creation is sitting here with a pirate's hat. Hallelujah. Sitting here with a smile on your face. Listen, if he's come all that distance and he has gotten us this far, how much further can the Holy Ghost take us if we can just have faith for the future? And if we can turn our sadness into gladness, if we can turn, come on now, if we can get excited about what God is up to in our lives, I wonder if somebody could be thrilled today. I wonder if somebody could just get excited today. Convince yourself, amen, happy or sad, it's your choice. I'm choosing to be happy today because when I was born, I was on his mind. Before I was created, I was on his mind. And as I'm in this church today, I am on his mind. Amen. Praise God. Let me encourage you today. Look at John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house, here we go. This is the flesh talking about the spirit. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, the Lord said, look at me. I don't lie. And then he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? So that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Now, you can believe what you want to believe. It won't get you nowhere unless it coincides with the Word of God. But if it makes you feel good, believe whatever you want to believe. It won't work for your eternity, but it'll soothe your conscience while you're living on earth. But let me tell you this, amen. Only a person that loves God is going to find God. Only a person that lives for God is going to live with him in eternity. He would not put the pressure on you and make you live somewhere in eternity that you did not want to live on earth. If you didn't want to praise him on earth, you wouldn't want to praise him there. If you didn't want to clap your hands every now and then because you're excited about him here on earth, you're not going to do it there. He won't put that kind of pressure on you. There are other places that God has prepared for eternity. But let me tell you this. He said that hell was prepared for the devil and his followers. Amen. Hell was not prepared for you and I. Amen. That's your choice. But my choice is to be with the one that has gone away to prepare a place for me, that where he is, I may be also. Anybody want to go? Anybody want to go? It's not a revelation as much as it is a reminder. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you're a major part of this beginning and this big ending. Praise God. My question to you is simply this. If he started with us, why can't we finish with him? That's why he said you must be born again. We were born in sin, shapen by iniquity, the Bible said. Amen. And so, but we're born. Now let's be born again of the water and the Spirit. Let's be born again according to the gospels of Jesus Christ. Let's be born again, amen, so that we can ultimately finish with him. He started with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not here to give you scientific learning or anything like that. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's amazing to me that out of all those little tadpoles, he chose me. I'm just saying. Praise God. Out of all those millions, and I'm the one that made it to the uterus. Hallelujah. You get me now? Okay. Chosen by God. Chosen by the Lord. And the Lord looked at them. They're all the same size, same color, same shape. And he said, but I want that one. That was me. And that was you. And here we are. Somebody ought to shout, what a miracle. Praise God. He's chosen you. And since he has chosen you, why don't you just jump to your feet and choose him? Why don't you just raise your hands and choose him? Why don't you shout with me in the voice of victory and choose him? I choose the Lord. My, my, my. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Praise God. Hallelujah. So your start may have been, listen, my question is irrelevant until we see exactly what Paul said. Paul said, I pressed toward the mark for the prize. He started when he was on his way to Damascus. He finished when his head rolled into a basket. It seems to me it doesn't matter how hard a person's got it. If they would look beyond their personal dilemma, they would see someone else that's got it a little bit worse. I get to preach the gospel up here today. I get to wear my hat. I get to wear my tie. I get to hold a microphone and preach the gospel to some of the greatest people in the world. Amen. And I've got a brother 2 years older than me that has been in an institution since he was 6 years old. He will wear a diaper till the day he dies. Got it that bad? Got it that bad? When I came into the church, one of the first things that God did for me was he began to give me dreams. And for, I don't know, it must have been several years. It seemed like once a week, I would visualize my brother in the kingdom of God talking to me. Walking with me. Hallelujah. Amen. That alone is one of the greatest reasons I want to make heaven my home, because I want to talk to my brother again. I remember I had a little guitar, and he would be laying in the crib, and this was before I even started school, and I would go in there when no one else was in the house, and I'd pull up a little chair and I would bang on that little guitar and make up songs and sing to him. And he would just stare off into oblivion. He had a fever so bad it put him into a coma, and he slept for 6 weeks. And when he woke up, his brain was severely damaged. So I knew him up until he was about 6 years old. Just a couple, maybe three things I can remember even doing with him. I do know that he was a character. And that everything he got caught for, he blamed on me. I will take that up with him too. But if this little time that we spend in the flesh here in the world is all that I had, then shoot me and get it over with. I'm not saying life is bad. I'm just saying life is short and there's no hope here. Amen. But there is hope in the everlasting. There is hope in the kingdom beyond. Could we expand our vision, our hearts, our mind, and our mentalities and realize that heaven is our home? We're just passing through. Our names are written somewhere in the blue. Amen. Listen, angels are beckoning us to come on home. Hallelujah. So here's my goal today is that someone would just get a made up mind and some gut, grit, determination. Amen. That nothing can make you stop this church. Nothing can make you stop your praise. Nothing can get your mind off your family. Nothing can get your mind detoured. Nothing can take you out of this thing, because you've got your mind made up to make heaven your home. Amen. We started this thing in the beginning. Why can't we finish this thing in the end? My, my, my. No matter what you're facing, God is faithful. He's ever present. He meets the need. He's been tried and tested, but he's never been bested. So your start may have been phenomenal, but now it's time to plan for the grand finale. Simon Peter almost blew the end because all he had was a beginning. But he came back and got it all together. I'm looking at folks that own the beginning. You are here. You've started. Possibly someone will start today. The shot will be fired for someone's first step from the starting line to the finish. That excites me. Every miracle has a beginning. Amen. When I lay on the couch for 8 months with cancer, when I had feeding tubes, when I had chemotherapy and radiation and surgeries and all of that, and the rescue squad rushing me to Winston-Salem 2 or 3 times. Amen. All the miracle, it had a beginning. Amen. I made up my mind that come hell or high water, I'm going to make heaven my home. I don't care if I went when I was 50. I don't care if I go when I'm 60. I don't care if I go if I'm 70. I'm going. Don't you ever forget, the devil may always fight against us. However, Jesus will always fight for us. I pause to ask another question. Where is it exactly that you decide to finish this race? Have you decided that yet? Hopefully, you're not hanging on to an alternative. If this happens, I'm out of here. If that is true, I make a promise to you. Something will happen and you will be out of here. But if we can realize that this whole conglomerate, all the carpet was made by man, all the walls made by man, amen, and everybody seated in here was made by your mama and your daddy, and everything God created did perfect until he said, let us make man. And man, did the problems begin. And still yet, he didn't go to prepare a place for cows. He didn't go to prepare a place for fish. He didn't go to prepare a place for the spotted owl. Amen. He went and prepared a place for you and I. Even with the flaws, he loves it all. I wonder if we could love one another like that and just make heaven home. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, when do I decide that I'm going to make it? At what point do I see myself with Jesus, my friends and my family, where the Lamb is the light in the city of gold? The answer is not in the middle of the journey, not on death's bed, not in a crisis, not near the end of the race, but at the beginning. Because if we can make up our mind, then nothing can stop us. Because I'm telling you, as long as you live, life is going to come at you. And it's going to come at you hard. Praise God. Amen. And so here we are. See it. Everybody shout now. Don't start without seeing. If you can get it, if you can get in. If you can get in, you can get out when the trumpet sounds. If you can start, you can finish. If you've come this far, you can go all the way. By defining your destiny, you will do right in everyday decisions. No destiny goals, no daily victories. Jesus showed us at Gethsemane that he prayed through his disciples. And there's that. But they wouldn't pray through for him. He will bring you to it, but it's up to you to pray through it. When you pray through it, you break through it. When you break through it, you're on your way. And don't forget, an empty stomach can lead to a full spirit. America, push the plate aside every now and then. I heard the other day, and it was astonishing to me. I'll never forget it. I don't know why it left such a mark. But a leading diet person said that pizza is more addictive than cocaine. Well, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm addicted to food. I can't live without it. Neither can you. But we don't have to let it govern our lives. Every now and then we can push it aside and say, Lord, today belongs to you, and it's going to be me and you today. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to seek the will of God and the direction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. So it is. Define your destiny, and you'll do right in daily decisions. Praise God. In the beginning is where we draw our lines with made-up minds. In the beginning is where you mark your date with destiny. By His grace, we started the race, right? And by His grace, we'll finish this race, right? It doesn't belong to the swiftest, and I'm glad about that. It belongs to the one that endures until the end. Thank God for good beginnings. Now, it's time to think on powerful endings. The steps, the Bible says, of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Your steps are already ordered. Now be good. He already knows. Do you? Someone once said, when I was born, I cried, but when I die, I want others to cry. Amen. I hate to keep bringing Elvis Presley, my brother, up, but when Elvis Presley died, it shook the nation to their knees. Impersonators rose up everywhere singing, "The King is gone." Ladies and gentlemen, one greater than Elvis is here, and he's not gone. And he is a king, and he's right here. Why don't you keep clapping your hands and stand to your feet with me just a moment? Let's call on the name of the Lord and worship the name of Jesus. Somebody help me entertain the presence of the Lord so the Spirit can sweep into the house. Let the anointing break every yoke, tear down every stronghold. Let the Spirit flow through and touch lives, touch hearts and touch souls. Let the Spirit flow through and touch individuals greatly, mightily, powerfully, and wonderfully. Let God be God. Let God be God. And let every bad thing, every bad thought, every situation just melt away. Just let it melt away. And let the goodness of God come through at high voltage. Let the goodness of God prevail and provide. Let the Spirit of God move greatly and the power of God flow. Let the anointing stir up the gift of God within all of us. Amen. I want the enemy to know that regardless, I'm going to be right here. And I would like for you, I'm talking about from center to circumference, to let the enemy know, why should I go anywhere when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the Bible promises me that God will raise up a standard against him? Why should I go anywhere when the enemy comes against me, when the Bible says, don't rejoice against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall rise again. In my beginning and in your beginning, something strong got a hold of your heart, your mind, and your spirit. In my ending, I want to have a strong hold on something, myself. How are we more than conquerors in this life? By making the end as great as the beginning. And the greatest leverage is love. I want you to visualize God. Until we see Him face to face, I want everyone to get a clear picture of Him and say, that's what He looks like to me. And I want you to fall so madly in love with Him until there is no way anything could ever cause you to forsake Him and walk away from Him. Fear may have started your journey. I'll be honest with you, it started mine. I was about 17 years old, and I visited a church I was invited to because they were going to show a movie called The Burning Hell. And I thought, that's interesting. And I went. And it scared the fire out of me. And there was no way out of that church except by the altar. I wasn't going home. They could, but I wasn't. Because I'm not going there. Fear got me in. But ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be the love of God that keeps you. It's going to be the love of God that holds you. It's going to be the Spirit of God wrapped around you and you wrapped around Him until nobody could tell the difference where you start and where He begins and where He ends and where He ends. And it's just woven together. So I wonder, is there anybody in the house, anybody, that will go with me back to the beginning? And we can not only decide that we're going to start this race, but right at the very beginning, again, we're making our minds up that we're going to finish this race. That we're going all the way. A made up mind. A determination. Personal will. No deterrence. No signs along the way saying, turn this way, go this way, go that way. No, 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 no. I'm going home. I'm going home. I want to go home. I want to make heaven home. I've got my mind made up. Hallelujah. Somebody help me praise Him. Somebody help me reach out to Him. Somebody help me believe in Him. Help me trust in Him, and let us let God have His way in Jesus' name right now. Spirit of God, presence of God, power of God, I submit, I dedicate, I relegate my life, I relegate my heart, my mind, my soul to You. I surrender to You, not just to get started, but I'm surrendering to You so I can finish. So I can get to where You want me to be. Your goal was for me to be here. Now Your goal is for me to see that place that You have prepared for me. I'm coming home, Lord. I don't know when, but I know I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Hallelujah. Just for a moment, giving it everything You've got. Hallelujah. You see, this thing is so much deeper than just a religion. In these last days, this thing is going to take a relationship. Because a true heart-giving, living, loving relationship is what endures hard times. And that's what we need with God, to endure the times that come. Amen? I want to say thank you to all of you that were here today, to all of our guests, all of our visitors. Amen. You don't have a church home. You just found one. And just understand, we ain't particular. The Lord wasn't particular when He picked me out. We don't have a right to be particular either. Hallelujah. Let's just gather together and get there with one another. Shake hands, be friendly.